Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan, and I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the commission's regular meeting of August 23rd, 2023. The public may listen to the meeting in real time by following the instructions listed at the top of the commission's meeting agenda, currently posted on the commission's website. In addition, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. For the benefit of the public, particularly those who may be listening to the meeting by telephone, I'll take a roll call so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. Commissioner Barry, Commissioner Einhorn, Commissioner Fuseschi, Commissioner Goldsby.
Here.
Commissioner Hankins.
Here.
Commissioner Streeter.
Here.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, present. Similarly, when the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission meeting of August 9th, 2023. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the minutes of the regular meeting of August 9th, 2023 for adoption.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. I'll conduct a roll of those in favor. Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. I will call the docket. If you wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they are called. First, docket number FIC 2021-0249, Albert Farah versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Are you there, Mr. Farah?
This is Attorney Lepore for the respondent. I was recently notified that Mr. Farah does not wish to participate in today's hearing, and as such, I would urge adoption of the hearing officer.
I entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, this was a dismissal. As the Attorney Lepore mentioned, the complainant is not participating, and there's no objection, so therefore I move adoption of the hearing officer board.
Commissioner Hackett, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0414, Richard Quint versus Angel Quares, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Are you there, Mr. Quint?
Yes, sir.
Would you like that marked ready?
Sure.
Okay. Attorney Lepore, you'll be on the other side, correct? Thank you. That's marked ready. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0215, Aaron Romano versus Chief, Police Department, City of Bridgeport, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? That matter was withdrawn. I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0357, Patricia Polk versus Chief, Police Department, Town of Bethel, et al. All right, we'll mark that ready, Attorney Stevenson. And then, sir?
And yes, good afternoon, Commissioners. Attorney Joseph Schrank, off the line on behalf of the respondents. Some of you will also be heard, but we would urge you.
Thank you. All right, well, we'll mark that ready. Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0477, William Russo versus Chief Police Department, Town of Windsor, Locks, et al. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone here on that matter? That was withdrawn. I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0481, Kurt Brace versus Chairman, Board of Directors, Windsor Locks Public Library, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Good afternoon. Eva Larson from the respondents would like to be heard, but it will be very, very brief.
That was a withdrawal?
Yes.
Okay. You'd like to be heard, Attorney Larson?
Yes.
Thank you. We'll mark that ready. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0588, Robert Cushman versus Vernon Riddick, Chief Police Department, Town of West Hartford, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? With that, I'd entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, this was a dismissal. Seeing neither party present, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hackett, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. I think that's it for the docket. Before we consider the cases, I will ask the Executive Director, Colleen Murphy, to make the usual announcements, please.
Sure. As indicated by the chairman, these proceedings are being recorded in their entirety, so there's no need to request a recording. It will be available on our website soon after this meeting, and if anyone has difficulty accessing that, please just contact the commission. I also note that CTN is here today, so that may be available as well on that. And pursuant to our regulations, oral argument is limited to 10 minutes per side, and I'll keep track of that for the parties.
Okay. Thank you. We'll call the first matter, docket number FIC 2022-0414, Richard Quint versus Angel Quiros, Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. Attorney Lepore, will you just identify yourself for the record?
Sure. Attorney Lepore for the respondents.
Thank you. And I'll call again. Is Mr. Quint on? Oh, Mr. Quint, are you here?
Yeah, I'm still on the line. Yeah, I'm on scenario. This one here, if I want to bring it back up, I can bring it back up again or be expedited or whatever. Was the decision of the hearing? I'm not going to contest it.
The matter's been dismissed, Mr. Quint.
Yeah, but they said if I want to bring it back up, they'll expedite it because I'm not feeling good.
I'm sorry that you're not feeling well. I'm not sure I understand. Attorney Lepore?
Sure. We had initially scheduled the hearing for the end of July. Mr. Quinn was experiencing some pain and did not think that he could adequately participate.
So experienced pain. It's been like 83 days since they've given me pain medicine. I went to court, in regular criminal court, 2 weeks ago and ended up in the emergency room. So.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Quinn. Attorney Lepore.
And then an additional hearing was scheduled on August 4th, at which time Mr. Quint stated again that he was experiencing some pain, and the hearing officer suggested if he was unable to participate, she could close and dismiss the matter and he could refile again.
Thank you. Who was the hearing officer on that?
Attorney McGee.
Attorney McGee.
Yeah, I have no problem with him refiling again when I'm feeling better. Right now, I'm just sorry.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Danielle McGee is the designated hearing officer for this matter.
Thank you.
Did you have a particular question?
Just, is that accurate?
That is accurate. I would also just add that at the time of the hearing, there was a question raised. Well, not really a question raised. Mr. Quint argued that he hadn't received notice of the hearing for that day, in addition to him not feeling well. And for those two reasons, he declined to proceed. I have no reason to dispute that he hadn't received the notice at that time, that he wasn't feeling well, as he's articulating today. So I thought that my recommendation would be to the commission that if he does wish to renew that request and file an appeal, that we would consider hearing it on an expedited basis since we were out of time.
All right. Thank you.
That's what I was saying. I'm not contesting that.
All right. So you would like us to act on this dismissal now, Mr. Quint?
Yeah, that's fine. If I refile it, it would be expedited, right? Is basically what you said, unrolling the hearing.
I didn't hear that it would be expedited. I think it would be taken in its normal course.
No, you just said it would be expedited.
I think my recommendation was that if Mr. Quint does renew his request, files an appeal with the commission, and in that appeal requests to have the matter heard on an expedited basis, we would consider that request. I think given the circumstances, I don't know if it would be denied or not. I think we would take that up, but I feel fairly certain that it would be heard on an expedited basis, but obviously I can't make that firm commitment. I guess Attorney Murphy could always weigh in on that.
If I bring it back up, it'll be expedited or whatever. Because right now, I have a team that's in 83 days. I got run over, and I got one of my implants in my back is going into my spinal canal, encroaching on one of my nerve roots. And I just can't even think anymore right now. So
I understand. I think Attorney McGee made clear what the commission's position was. So
that's paperwork I got. I got the response saying that if I do refile, it'll be expedited or whatever.
She didn't say it's guaranteed to be expedited, but that it most likely would be given expedited treatment.
Okay.
She didn't say it's guaranteed, though, just so you understand that. All right. Thank you. With that, I'll entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion?
Just one question of Attorney McGee. It's usually a withdrawal and dismissal, so this was not withdrawn.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Anything further? Any further discussion? All right. I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you, Attorney McGee. Thank you, Attorney LaPorte. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Quint. Yes. And I imagine you're going to refile. Okay. I hope you feel better.
So do I. So if you don't have the card, I don't think so. Have a nice day.
Okay. Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Next is docket number FIC 2021-0357, Patricia Polk versus Chief Police Department, Town of Bethel, et al.
Good afternoon. I'm Attorney Deborah Stevenson. I'm representing this town.
You have to speak up, Attorney Stevenson.
I'm sorry.
You don't have to stand up. Just speak up, please.
Whichever works. I always have that problem. I apologize. So I'm Attorney Deborah Stevenson. I represent Mrs. Polk, the complainant.
Thank you.
And Patricia Polk.
Thank you, Ms. Polk.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Attorney Joseph Schirico of Murphy, Kalina, and I represent the respondents.
Thank you. All right. So, Ms. Polk, Attorney Stevenson.
Yes. Thank you, Commissioner. We take exception to the hearing officer's ruling and ask for reconsideration and reversal. And the prime reason is because I think the hearing officer decided the issue on the wrong record that being sought. In this case, Mrs. Polk was trying to get the initial complaint and documentation that she had made the initial complaint and not the supplemental report after investigation that the police officer had done. We asked for the initial incident report, and the language is confusing because there's a report throughout, but I'm going to show you that there are two documents, I believe, that are involved here. So if you look at the respondent's post-hearing brief, Exhibit 1A, there's an index to the records submitted for in-camera inspection, and it shows both an incident report and a supplemental report, or an incident case number. Also, within the body of the respondent's post-hearing brief, page 2, the second paragraph, shows, quote, "This verbal complaint submitted by Mrs. Polk to Officer Freeman during his November 2020 visit, and Officer Freeman's resulting investigation is what resulted in the respondent's creation of incident file number 20-14450 and the report." So that would indicate there may be two separate documents. At least there was something written to open the file as an incident occurring, and then an investigation occurred and a report was issued. And you see again in the respondent's post-hearing brief, page 3 in the first paragraph, quote, "Notwithstanding this fact, Officer Freeman used the information provided by Mrs. Polk during this November 2020 visit, opened up the incident file, conducted an investigation, and generated the report." So if you look also at the complainant's list of evidence, Exhibit 6, which is the initial email to Thomas Hennick, where we filed the request for this document to the commission. Page 2 of that, paragraphs 3, 4, 5, and 9, quote, this is Mrs. Polk now requesting this report. On 30 November 2020, I requested a copy of the report I initiated from Officer Price. Again, another quote, I then spoke with Chief Pugner and requested a copy of the report I initiated. Another quote, on March 16th, 2021, I went to the police department asking for a copy as I am the woman who initiated the report on file. And then a final quote, presently, I have been unable to obtain a copy of the report I initiated. And then further explanation in the complainant's brief that we filed with the hearing officer on page 1, it's explained that the complainant wanted the initial incident report that's filled out by the police when an individual alleges a crime. She was not requesting any documents that were otherwise compiled in connection with the detection or investigation of any crime. She simply wanted documentation that she made a complaint. That's in our brief. And then if you look at Exhibit 1 to the complainant's brief, you'll see a page taken from the Bethel Police Department's website where it's indicated that police reports are available at the Records Division, including arrest reports, incident reports, and accident reports. So if you look at the hearing officer's finding, however, finding number 11, this quote, it is found that the respondent department prepared the police report in connection with the department's investigation of the allegations. And then in finding number 12, the hearing in this matter, the respondents claim that the police report is exempt from disclosure. And then finally, finding number 17, quote, after a careful inspection of the in-camera record and after consideration of the testimony and other evidence provided at the hearing, it is found that such record is a record of a law enforcement agency not otherwise available to the public, which record was compiled in connection with the detection or investigation of a crime. And again, we were not asking for any report that was compiled in connection with the investigation of the crime. We were simply asking for her initial, a copy of her initial complaint or the initial incident report that reflected she had made a complaint so she would have confirmation and documentation that she made the complaint. And with everything going on, it's difficult, I understand, to determine a report. But that was her intent. That was what she was asking. And I don't see anything in the hearing officer's findings that reflects anything regarding that initial complaint, the initial opening of the case and the incident file number 20-14450. So that's why I think it should be taken under reconsideration and quite possibly reversed, hopefully. In the alternative, again, if we're talking about that initial incident report, if there's anything in there that needs to be redacted under the law, we're asking for that to be redacted and then released to the complainant.
Thank you, Attorney Stevenson. Attorney Schreiber.
Thank you, Chairman Egan. Very briefly, the respondents urge adoption in full of the hearing officer's proposed final decision in this matter. And while Attorney Stevenson raises the issues at this hearing with respect to the specific document or page of the police records in this incident file, and tries to specify that they were only that the complainant was only seeking the initial report. The record did not make, the evidence and the testimony adduced at the hearing did not indicate that that was specifically requested. But more importantly, the effect of disclosing only that initial complaint and not the subsequent supplemental report, if that were to be the commission's decision here, it would go against the precedent that was referenced by the hearing officer in paragraph 18 of the proposed final decision, which is that where there are uncorroborated allegations of criminal activity, the entire record must be withheld from disclosure. And effectively, what counsel appears to be asking on behalf of the complainant here is that only a portion of this record be ordered disclosed, or in the alternative, just a redacted portion of this one part of the record. We submit that the entire record contains uncorroborated allegations of criminal activity, that the record clearly included substantial evidence to this effect, and accordingly, the entire record was properly withheld. And we again urge that the commission adopt the proposed final decision in full. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
With regard to the case that was cited by the hearing officer, I would argue that that's distinguishable on its face, because in that case they asked for the all of the records that the police department had, and in addition, or specifically, including the reports that were conducted after an investigation. Here we're not asking for that, and never have asked for that. As I said in the brief to the hearing officer, that was mentioned in testimony at the hearing, it was mentioned we were not asking for that. We were asking only for documentation of her initial complaint. Also, I would say that it is the burden of the respondent to prove that the document is exempt under the law. And the third thing I would suggest is that we had not had any opportunity to discuss with the hearing officer after her in-camera inspection of the documents, anything about the documents before she issued her final ruling. And so I'm going on the best available evidence here. We had submitted initially with her initial complaint, clear she wanted just that portion that, you know, to verify she had made the complaint. And throughout the testimony, throughout our brief, that's what we asked for. So we made it as clear as we could possibly do under the circumstances. But having seen the respondent's reply, and that's the pretty much the first indication that there was creation of an incident file with a number, and the word "and" is in there, and the report. So that would indicate to me that those were two separate things at two different time frames, so that they could be separated quite easily, I would think. And I would ask that that be done. And at least for clarification's sake, I would think that this could go back to the hearing officer for clarification of more facts as to, are there two documents? Was that done in two different time frames? Is there the ability to provide an initial just documentation she made that complaint for the incident report? And that would rest my argument.
Thank you. Mr. Rake,
respondents have nothing further.
Thank you. Attorney Pullman, you were the hearing officer, correct?
Yes, correct.
Thank you. Can you address some of the concerns raised by Attorney Stevenson? So, she is at a disadvantage because they can't see in-camera records, which is the case when we're dealing with in-camera records.
So, Attorney Paul Pullman, I was the hearing officer in this matter. So, with respect to what records are at issue, the in-cameras, without revealing too much of what's in the in-camera, I believe it encompasses all the records that are responsive. I can, if you wanted to recess, I could show you what the records are so you could review them, but I believe they're all the records that are responsive and would answer, I guess, the question that they have regarding documentation of the initial complaint. With respect to only giving a part, like one of the records, it's essentially like redacting it. So it's, as the Bowman case found, it's the entirety of the files cannot be disclosed. They're all uncorroborated allegations. So
including the complaint?
It's all part of the same investigation.
Right, the
same file. And I don't know if she had a third issue. I believe those were her two main concerns. But I think the best way for the commission, you know, to move forward would be to take a look at the in-camera records.
Attorney Perlman, this is Commissioner Hankins. I think the third issue, if I'm not mistaken, was that you didn't discuss the subject matter afterward. Yeah,
afterwards.
And that's not something that's done, is it?
I wouldn't, if I had reopened the hearing, after my in-camera review, even if I had reopened the hearing, I couldn't discuss the content of what's in the...
Right, so that's...
Well, first
that's,
of all, I wouldn't have a discussion.
Exactly.
Anyway, but
yeah.
In terms of, I couldn't come and have a reopen a hearing and, you know, reveal what's actually in the in-camera records.
But to the complainant's counsel's point, you wouldn't engage in a discussion anyway, correct?
Correct.
And the other thing, while I'm still talking, the two police incident reports, the initial and the supplemental, contain, I take it, essentially the same subject matter. And if that's the case, they both contain uncorroborated allegations, correct?
Correct.
Always ask the question of the answer to it. But I understand. Thank you.
Anything further? I would like to take a recess after these questions are addressed. So we can we can review the in-camera records.
So I don't know if this is for the hearing officer or attorney Sirico, but if a complaint is part of the report, and say we were to overturn this, which I'm not in favor of at this point, just because that's what they submitted, that becomes a public document. Anybody can request that same. It doesn't matter complainant's the one that gave the initial complaint. We're talking about providing a public document. Therefore, anybody could get that same piece of paper. It doesn't matter whether it's
correct
the complainant or anybody from the public or the person that it may have been the subject of an uncorroborated.
Correct. It would so, be I mean, available
it's,
to
it's,
the
it's
public.
A slippery slope that we don't go down. All right. Thank you.
Commissioner Goldsby, so I have two questions. The first one, and maybe Attorney Perlman can answer as well as Attorney Sirico. So under the statute, it states that the records of a law enforcement agency not otherwise available to the public. So would an incident report not be available to the public? Is that true? I don't know who knows the answer. So
at the risk of speaking out of turn.
Just identify yourself.
Yes. Thank you, Attorney Joe Sirico, on behalf of respondents. And to answer Commissioner Goldsby's question, it is not otherwise available to the public while it is subject to destruction and still undergoing the corroboration process, if you will. And to that end, yes, it's not otherwise available.
Okay. And then my second question is, it also mentions that it has to be compiled in the connection with some sort of investigation of a crime. So if this incident report was created, it was created because of the purpose of investigating a crime. Is that right?
That's correct, Commissioner Goldsby.
Thank you.
Could I just...
Let me follow up. And so the complaint is part of the initial record.
In creating the investigative report, I think it would have to be because that is the initial basis on which the investigation was opened. But in any event, in this particular case, it was.
Thank you. Attorney Stevenson, yes.
Thank you. I just have one question that on the police department's own website, it says, incident reports are available at the records division. So what would be incident reports that are not connected with any other investigation that are available to the public? Because it's very confusing for my client and myself if incident reports of some kind are available to the public.
Well, you don't have an obligation to answer that. We're not here to answer questions, and I understand what your point is, though.
Yes.
Attorney Perlman, as per your suggestion, I think we're going to take a recess and review those records. So take a 5-minute or maybe a 10-minute recess.
Thank you.
Now you can